Yeah, it reminds me, I was listening recently to a talk by my teacher's teacher who was talking. Somebody had asked him the difference between free will and like predeterminism. And he said that that argument only exists when you perceive that there are two separate things. Like when you understand that there's only one thing and we're all it, then that whole idea of predeterminism versus free will, you know, totally
out the window.
It goes out the window. Exactly.
You got it. Yeah, because A Course in Miracles says this: only God's will exists, and your will and God's will are one. You just haven't realized it yet.
Mm.
Because you keep inventing a separate self that thinks it exists apart from its source and can therefore act apart from its source. You know, that's what resistance to life is the idea that I don't like what reality is doing, and so I'm going to turn the gears of reality in my favor. I'm going to bend life to my will and create an outcome that I want, an outcome that benefits me at the cost of everything else. That's ego, right? So I actually give three definitions for ego, which correlate to the three beliefs, because there is no perfectly static, unmoving definition that works across all spectrums. It's like, depending on which perspective we're looking at ego from, we may need to adopt a different definition. And so, because the ego really is just the sum of these three beliefs, which I'll give you now since we've mentioned it enough: the belief in lack, that I am lacking, the belief in outcome, happiness, outcomes fulfill me, and then the belief in personal doership, or I like to say control. I'm in control of life, not life, me. That's the third belief. So the ego's just those three beliefs. Without those three beliefs, there's no ego at all. So each belief correlates to one of the three emotions as well: sadness, anger, and fear. So the belief in lack causes all sadness. Anytime you're sad, any kind of sadness, it's really just the belief that you're lacking something. Love, happiness, fulfillment. Belief in lack number one leads to anger, the second emotion, which is anytime an outcome gets blocked, anytime a goal I want gets blocked, anger is the result. So all anger is the result of a blocked outcome that you want. The ego is the mind's conflict with reality. It's like another way of seeing the ego. It's like the mind's fight against reality. That's the ego. It's always in resistance, or it's always trying to cling and attach because it believes it's separate and it's trying to possess reality to fulfill itself. So if reality ever does anything that it thinks will take away an outcome, it has to fight reality. It has to resist. The mind's war against reality, that's ego. And then the third one we already said is the belief in control, the belief in personal doership. I'm an independent actor, the Buddha's definition. And that creates the emotion of fear, the third negative emotion, when I say fear, I'm just talking about primal fear. So stress, worry, anxiety, paranoia. These are all different flavors of fear, and all fear happens from believing that I don't have control over something, or I'm losing control over something. A panic attack is the best way to see this. Why do people get panic attacks? It's because they believe that I can't breathe. They're losing control over something. I don't know where I am, something like that. Anytime you think you don't have control, when you see a giant grizzly bear, oh, I definitely don't have control to defeat this bear. Ain't nothing I can do to beat this guy. Fear, right? So then you also see we have flight, fight, and freeze, the three primal responses of the lower three chakras. Sadness is flight, the desire to escape from pain. Run away, escape, sadness, depression, flight. I'm trying to escape from something, or I want to escape from something. Anger is, of course, fight. Put them up. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to attack you. And then freeze is fear. We say frozen in fear, right? I don't know what to do. I have no control. Those are the three. That's where they begin, right? Is in our reptilian brain, actually. So the ego's roots go back as far as evolution goes, but it really comes to fruition in the third density through the solar plexus chakra.
So, you know, obviously what you just shared there was so profound, and I love too at the end how you brought it all to how each of those correlates to fight, flight, freeze. And so, you know, for somebody who, you know, and you talked about fear and anger and sadness, and these are all things that, you know, we struggle with, and you talked about trauma earlier. And so, you know, what from your perspective now, having had this spiritual awakening yourself, been on this journey where, you know, you've gone through all these situations that have now, you know, taught you all these lessons and had ways that now you've been able to use these experiences to help others, like, what is like the most important things you would suggest for somebody to be doing on their path to like help them transcend these things that can cause so many people to struggle?
That is the most important question. How do we actually integrate all this knowledge? And that was my question. That was how I came up with this understanding, was just asking these questions of, why am I suffering? What am I suffering from? Like, what's the actual feelings I feel? Was my first question. And it became clear to me after really investigating inwardly for a while that I really only ever feel one of three emotions: sadness, anger, or fear. And there's different variations of each one, but those are the only three negative emotions. And I will also give this qualification that when I use polarity terms like positive and negative, I am not implying good and bad. I'm just implying contracting or expanding. That which is negative is just that which feels constricting. It isn't bad and it isn't wrong. It's just constricting. Makes my state of being feel contracted.
Feels less expansive, right?
Right, exactly, because the positive is expansion. So that which makes me feel expanded is positive. So the three negative emotions of sadness, anger, fear made sense to me. And I thought, okay, so if I feel different emotions, three different emotions, well, then it stands to reason there has to be a reason I feel them, right? Why do I feel sad rather than angry? Or why do I feel angry rather than fearful? There must be a reason. And what else could that reason be than some kind of underlying belief? So I really started tuning into this idea that was coming through of there's three beliefs, three core beliefs. And I knew that there were three core beliefs for probably half a year or more before I had any notion of what they were. But I knew that there was three of them. And I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't just making up what I thought they were. I wanted to come to a no doubt conclusion about what these three beliefs are. And so the first belief was revealed first through all my inquiring, and that was the belief in lack. I am incomplete is belief number one. And anytime I am sad, it's because I believe I am lacking something. And that was like inarguable to me, a foolproof definition. That is definitely what sadness is from. Once I had that foundation, I understood what the second belief must be, which each one of these beliefs are very much just like extensions of each other. They flow into one another. They imply one another. And so what does lack imply? I need to fulfill my lack. If I'm lacking, how do I complete myself? And that's the second belief, is I complete myself with outcomes in the world. And that's what the Buddha would call desire, right? Desire meaning desire for the external, desire for the material, for the transient. And Buddha said famously, you suffer because you desire. And that was the second definition that I realized, oh yeah, that's why I get angry, because something I desire is getting blocked from me. Have to have a desire before you can get angry. A desireless mind is an anger-free mind, literally. And then after the first two, the third one revealed itself pretty quickly, which is, if I have to go out into the world and complete myself, and I was studying the Buddha a lot, and Buddha talked a lot about non-doership. The Bhagavad Gita talks quite a bit about non-doership. And I started to see, oh, okay, so that's where these texts are coming from. This is sort of like the third view of what ego is that it's the belief that I'm an independent actor. And really, to get to the point that I believe I'm an independent, separate self acting in a separate universe, there has to already be underlying beliefs before that. And that's lack and external fulfillment. But ultimately, they're all really one, and they all work together. And so then I was like, okay, these are the three beliefs that I suffer from. And once I was convinced of that, I said, okay, how do I Identify when these beliefs are happening and correct them. And that's when the understanding of the emotional guidance system started to come through, that these negative emotions are clearly not enemies that I should fight or resist, but they're like helpful messengers from my inner world that are reporting to me, hey, the first belief is working right now. You might want to correct it. That's what sadness is telling me. Hey, the second belief is working right now. You might want to correct it. That's what anger tells me. And the third belief is working right now. You might want to correct it is what fear is telling me. So once I knew that, it became more about, okay, how do I really embrace my emotions, welcome them in, and listen to the message that they're sending me, and then make the correction being implied. So this is where A Course in Miracles really helped me out in giving me the understandings of how do I correct these things. And so one of the lines from A Course in Miracles says, only what I have not given can ever be lacking. Only what I do not give can ever be lacking. And that just resonates so hard, doesn't it?
Incredible.
We all know deep down that everything I'm looking for is within me. And whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's money, objects, these things, all they do is they draw out of me those feelings of happiness. But it's not like I can just go around touching Ferraris and feeling bliss. You know, like, oh, the bliss is in the Ferrari. All I have to do is be in contact with it and I'll feel bliss. No, it's like the Ferrari just gave me permission to access that inner reservoir of bliss. And so it's never in the external. And so then we have the second correction, which the Course in Miracles talks a lot about, which is that you do not perceive your own best interest, and the things you think you want, you don't actually want. It's like, oh, what a paradox that is. The things I think I want, I don't really want. How do I remind myself of that? Well, anytime you feel angry, just say, thank you, anger, for letting me know that I have an outcome on a pedestal right now. And then just ask, what is that outcome I'm chasing right now that I'm so angry about? And hopefully you can quickly identify the outcome. It's usually not hard at all. Sometimes it's a little more challenging. If there's like some mild irritation, it might be a little harder to be like, what am I chasing right now? But nevertheless, whether you find it or not, I would repeat the line to myself, this outcome cannot give me anything I want. I might also say, what I want is not an outcome. And that's just a way I would remind myself of, oh yeah, that's right. I've chased a million outcomes already and I've acquired most of them and still I am miserable.
Yeah, none of them have ever led to that lasting happiness.
Nope. In fact, they really kind of increase the unhappiness, don't they? So when you connect to that, you're like, oh yes, this outcome can't give me anything I want. And I would just feel the anger get depolarized very quickly. So that worked for me. And I think everyone has to do what works for them. But the way I teach this in my programs and videos is the way that it works for me, which is this outcome can't give me what I want. And that's actually a very blissful realization for me to have. And then the third one, when I feel fear of any kind, the mantra that eventually I settled on as the most effective one, again, for me, you may have a different one, is that you just have to remind yourself that you're not in control of life. Life is in control. God is in control. And it's not, here's the caveat, is that it's not that I'm giving up control to you, God. No. That's not the recognition. You never had control. You've never been in control. At best, we can say you are in cooperation with life. And even that's a bit dualistic, right? Because there's not two there, but we could say I'm in cooperation with life, but I'm definitely not in control of life. Just like surfing a wave. Are you in control of the wave?
No.
Certainly not, right? But can you be in cooperation with the wave and the wave can give you lots of bliss? Oh yeah. So life is like a wave we're trying to surf by being in relationship to it and surrender to it. But we're not the doer of the wave, make no mistake. And so the mantra is, I'm not in control. I am being lived. Rather than I'm doing the living, I am being lived. Life is living me. I'm not in control. And that is also for me, a very peaceful recognition to have. So the practice is, to answer your question now, is that anytime you feel one of those three emotions, notice the emotion first. Oh, I'm feeling some sadness right now. and then go to the first belief. Okay, I must believe I'm lacking something, and consciously correct that belief of the ego with the truth, which is only what I do not give can ever be lacking. So if I think I'm lacking love in this moment, I'm just not given love. So for me, it's this redirection to stop seeking love in the world, stop trying to get love from others, and start giving it out. Go be loving to somebody. Go be kind. Go be kind to a snail on the ground. Like, it doesn't really matter where you direct it. Go be grateful for the beautiful day. Go be grateful for the grass on your front lawn. But give love somewhere. And every time you notice, oh, I actually feel pretty good right now. Because it's in you and you just weren't giving it.
It reminds me of that. Sometimes I'll tell people, like, if you're feeling helpless, help somebody.
So common sense, right?
I just love the way you broke that down of, like, actual ways when we're feeling those things we can question ourselves to not feel like we're in a stranglehold anymore by those three mistaken beliefs.